Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. The message tonight is fruitful Christians. And I noticed something here in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower, that, and I'll just, by way of introduction, that God, when he sees the word of God sowed in someone's heart, we're gonna go through the different hindrances and the thorns and the devil and so forth. But what he sees is he wants that seed to bear fruit. And as we, in our own lives, and as we get the gospel out, and as we bring someone to Christ, we want them to be saved, of course. We want their sins to be forgiven. We want them to go to heaven. But really what the Lord wants is the Lord wants that person to be fruitful. And so let's all stand together, Matthew chapter 13. The song that Karina was just singing is sort of a picture of how it might be in heaven. And we need to be a little bit more heavenly minded. And just to think about, who it is that God used us to help and to influence, and stay faithful, and keep trying to win people to Christ, and you'll be surprised what might happen. Have a look at Matthew chapter 13. Look at verse number 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now please go down to verse number 18, if you would. Verse number 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, that's devil, his demons, the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. Now, here's all these different, what happens when the word of God is sown. You witness to somebody, or the word of God is sown in our own hearts. Verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. By the way, say, what's the deceitfulness of riches? Deceitfulness of riches is believing that riches will give you something that it doesn't give, okay? And the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He becometh what, class? Unfruitful, okay? But he that received the seed, receive seed into the good ground, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit. The other guy we just read in verse 22 is unfruitful, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Father, help us in the message tonight to get understanding. And Lord, as we do all that we can to not only sow the word in Christians' hearts, but in the lost people's hearts and people that we work with on a bus route or in an adult Sunday school class or in a Spanish or the deaf or the Filipino ministry or any of the ministries in Monterey Park. Lord, help us to just get insight from your word to be more effective, to be fruitful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You never know what's going to happen when you sow a seed, whether it's a track. Brother Myers, I think, just mentioned that. By the way, I encourage you, and sometimes, I mentioned yesterday, sometimes I get stuck without a track, and I'm somewhere, and but always, if you can, have a track in your pocket, and pass out tracks, and get the Gospels on that track. Of course, try to witness to people sometimes because of work or whatever it might be, or you're at the gas station and the guy can't stop, you can give a track. But you never know what's going to happen. By the way, one of the great things about being saved and serving the Lord for a long time is you get to see the fruit. And sometimes you don't see the fruit. You don't see all the fruit, maybe the first year, 5 years, and you don't see everything that's going on, but you see the fruit. I was talking with Brother Lalo. Brother Lalo was in Puerto Rico for a while. And I brought up a guy's name. His name is Luis Martinez. And Luis Martinez was my little bus kid on my bus route, 70-18. Luis said, yeah, Brother Joe, he said, you used to come over to my house. And I don't remember everything, but, you know, there's certain things you just, you know, whatever. I'm not a senior yet. When I go to a restaurant and someone says, senior discount, I go, no, thank you. You didn't bring your glasses today, did you? But anyway, Luis, he said, Brother Joe, he said you used to come to my house. He was one of my bus kids as a little boy, him and his sister Mary. And he said, you knock on the door, and we'd send someone out and say, we're not home, or we're not home, or listen, everybody Sunday morning in Chicago at 8 o'clock is home. Okay, they're all sleeping. Okay, and so we knocked on the door, and oh, we're not home, or, you know, we're at cousin's house, and they said, you'd walk in the house and go find me. I'd be hiding, and he'd say something like, Lewis, I'll be back in 15 minutes to come get you. And by the way, we didn't believe in soul liberty in those days. We believed in you come or you're in trouble, and he'd come. Well, now he's a graduate of Bible college, and now he's a missionary in Puerto Rico. I didn't know that. Oh, I just, you know, I'd try to get the kid on the bus and try to get him to church and, you know, try to keep him from, or quit lying and telling the bus captain that he's not here and so forth. But you never know. We're going to look at this parable here tonight. And by the way, we're going to get out of the sixth season, I think. Okay, we're in the sixth season. This is, in my opinion, in 24 years, we've had more people sick the last month than any other month of our whole church. I've had more staff members out sick, more ladies, more people out. And so, but we're going to come out of it. It's going to be over. By the way, it's still light outside. It's 5:40. The little light's getting, it's still almost dark out there. But we're going to have the spring, and the time's going to change, and everybody's going to feel better, and we're not going to be wearing dark clothes. Man, I come in here on Sunday morning, everybody's got their dark clothes on, you know, their big jackets on, and we're going to all feel better. And then what happens is people are more open. They're in better health. They're more open to God. Then we have Easter. We invite a bunch of people for Easter service. I want to do this. And Sunday night, this is the faithful people. I want to help us to be fruitful. I want to help us to be more fruitful. Our four steps, all we're trying to do is to do everything we can to sort of declutter life, to the best of our ability so that we can be a more effective servants of the Lord. Now, as we look at this parable, we see, number one, Lucifer's demons are active when we are sowing seeds. Please understand this. We're going to look at the scriptures here in a minute. Please understand this. And we need to be reminded. We are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual battle. If you are a Christian and you start to draw close to God, you better mark it down. We are in a spiritual battle. What happened to brother so-and-so? Or what happened to sister so-and-so? One of the things that happened to them, they got broadsided by the devil and his demons. We're in a spiritual battle. Lucifer's demons are active when we are sowing seeds. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to prevent, and we see here in the context, he's trying to prevent fruitfulness because he knows that seed, look, you get one little apple seed, and that one little apple seed bears this apple tree and all the apples, and then all the seeds from that apple you can take out and sow those seeds. Satan knows if somebody gets plugged into God, plugged into God's word, loves God, there's so much potential for fruit. So Lucifer and his demons are active when we are sowing seeds. Look at verse number 19 of chapter 13. When anyone heareth the word of the king. By the way, brother Petronico, man, my family, we were quoting his name back to each other, so when we got to church, we didn't say it wrong. So we all got together. One, two, three. Thank you, Petronico. And we're gonna, but he mentioned, he walked back there. I said, "Hey, tell us about your book table." And he went into some of the different series and books and so forth. And he said, "This one here is my pastor preaching in Gaylord, Michigan, on a dumb spirit." And so I didn't buy it. You said, why? I'm like you. I ain't got any money. But I went back there, and he gave me a big stack of books and CDs, and I went home, and I started listening to the message on a dumb spirit. I don't know if he left any here. It's phenomenal. It is unbelievable just about how demon spirits make us dumb. And I don't mean dumb, okay? Dumb in church. I've never heard any sermon like it. He's going, and I'm getting a little sidetracked, but I'm not. You're talking about, you know, parents saying, "I don't know, my son, he sits in church, he doesn't listen. Just sit there." And by the way, every church has people that don't listen in church. You say, "How do you know?" I sit here and watch them. And it's like same people, same station, same seat, same dumb look, same look, and same whispering, and same two people, same talking, and same disinterest. But he goes on to say that it's a dumb spirit, and we're in a spiritual battle. But verse 19, if you want to listen to the messages, I'll get them to you. Verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. The wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Satan, or one of his demons. And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Now look up here for just a moment. And we can't blame the devil for everything, but let me say this. I don't think we blame the devil for enough, okay? Now, you know, I remember, you know, the Flip, some of you old-timers, I remember Flip Wilson, okay? Flip Wilson, okay, you're not supposed to be watching that stuff, okay? Flip Wilson, he had this little phrase, "The devil made me do it," okay? And that's a cop-out because we as Christians, we have Christ, and we have his word, and we have his Holy Spirit. However, what the Bible is saying here, when we're out sowing seeds and maybe you're working with somebody and you're giving him the word of God, there are demons There is, Lucifer is very active to do what he can to not get the word of God in their hearts. Lucifer's demons are active when we are sowing seeds to prevent salvation and to prevent fruitfulness as a Christian. Let me say number two. Realize that when seeds are sown, there are distractions that we must be aware of that prevent fruitfulness. By the way, I'm not a farmer. We used to farm stuff and we had little gardens and corn and tomatoes and I don't know. We used to farm different things. I'm not a farmer, but some people think farming is just throw the seeds in water. It's more than that. Okay. It's getting the dirt ready. It's every once in a while you got to get deep. There's a plow pan deep down. Sometimes you got to get that all dug out so the root has a good root system. And then there's certain fertilizer and so forth. But you have to get the dirt ready. And then there's insects. Okay. Then there's bad weather. Okay, and there's different things. And what the Lord is saying, he's using this analogy to say, listen, just because you sow the word, don't expect it to germinate, but realize that when seeds are sown, there are distractions that we must be aware of that prevent fruitfulness. Look at verse 21 in Matthew chapter 13. Yet hath he not root, verse 20. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. By the way, we're not sure, but it seems as though verse 19, this guy never got saved. But it seems as though verse 20, 21, 22, of course 23, these people did get saved. But he received it with joy, and then verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation, or persecution, or what class? Ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now let me ask you a question. How many would say, Pastor, there's been a time, I won't say who it is, but one of our guys said he was helping somebody with tithing. And just this past week, and he said, let me tell you something. He said, don't go tell all of your unsaved family members that you tithe. You know what? That's a wise man. That's a wise man. You know what he's doing? He sowed the word, and he taught the word, and he put the word, the truth about, we say, what is tithing? Tithing is just a way to say, God gets first in my life. But you know what he was saying? He was preparing that individual for some persecution. And he was preparing that individual for some tribulation. And that was good advice. He said, you know why? They're going to try to talk you out of it. And maybe that individual wasn't ready to face that tribulation. That is what Jesus is talking about. Say, listen, there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be persecution. So Lucifer and his demons are active when they're seed sowing. And number two, realize that when seeds are sown, there are distractions that we must be aware of or it's going to prevent fruitfulness. Look at verse number 22. So there's tribulation, there's persecution, and then he's offended. By the way, you look, I said this a couple weeks ago. Peyton Manning. I was a Peyton Manning fan for a little while until somebody talked me out of it. It was a guy on the radio. For just a minute, he talked about how bad Peyton Manning was. Please understand this. There's when you got a brand new convert or somebody you're working with or someone you're teaching the Bible, prepare them. Let them know someone's going to talk them out of being a committed Christian. So what do we need to do? We need to help prepare them. Look at verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the cares of this world. So first we see tribulation. There's going to be tribulation. Okay? And if we don't prepare the people that we're working with, by the way, prepare ourselves, there's going to be persecution. And then we see there's going to be the cares of this world. And by the way, in the year 2013, there's more cares of this world than there ever has been. There's distractions, and there's the internet, and there's all of the, there's all of the different cares, and then there's all different ideas, and I've talked about how to lose weight and how to look pretty and how to make your nose smaller and how to make your nose bigger and all these distractions. And now there used to be a day where the only football game you can have, you get Monday Night Football, and then on Sunday, you get whatever they give you. Oh, no, now you can have Chinese football. There's satellites that you can have. Listen, I was in Thailand, and I was watching. I'm thinking, you can have everything. So now it's not, can I watch? It's like, how fast can I change it to get to the next game? That's the cares of this world. And by the way, the more you put in it and the more you talk about it and the more you read about it, the more your heart goes to it. And then you know what? It chokes out the Word of God. Okay? And then you listen to the radio and there's they got the P something. What is that one they got on the radio, the sports channel? The P, obviously you're not using it. That's it, PX90. P90X. And all these guys are talking about, I've got the P90X and now I'm slim. And you say, you know, you listen to it. You say, Pastor, do you? I listen to it. You say, what? I want to do it too. Man, I want to be P90X'd. Is that what it is, P90X? P90X. And so now you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about, yeah. So I'm thinking about the game in China, and I'm thinking about my gut that's getting bigger, and I'm thinking about all that. You say, what does it do? It chokes out the Word. Listen, I'd rather be fat and love God than skinny and healthy and not love God. For all of us fat people, amen? Thought I'd just get us all a little happy there. I mean, not fat. I mean, chubby. Tony Hudson says, at our church, we have a lot of chubby people. Verse 22, and he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Again, I mentioned this. You say, what's a deceitfulness of riches? Deceitfulness of riches is, deceit means trick. Believing that riches will bring something that it doesn't bring. Okay? Study all the lotto winners. Just Google, you know, I always say, just Google. I don't know how to Google. And I don't even know if I'm saying it right. But I said, just Google it. Google lotto winners. And the detriment to lotto winners, okay? And but the deceitfulness is riches. By the way, money is a necessity. We take care of our families with money. We feed ourselves. We go to the doctors, and maybe we can go out to eat, and it's a nice thing. But you know what the Lord is saying? Thinking that money will give you what only God can give you, it's a distraction to the Word of God. And that's what he's saying. He says, he also that received seed among the thorns, okay? You know, I remember my Uncle Al, we went to Ohio. My mother had hepatitis, and we went to a farm. My Uncle Al had a farm, and he had a big corn farm. We lost my sister Sally once in the corn farm. Where's Sally? They're going, she went that way. All this corn, we eventually did find her, you know, because she ended up back over here later on. But Uncle Al, I was four. And I remember, I was, you know, if there's things that I remember when I was four, there's some things I can't remember 30 minutes ago. I can't remember how to say Brother Petronacaro or, okay. But I remember him saying, it was the first thing, he said, listen, he had a small garden. He had his big farm and he had cows, but then he had a small, like it's a personal garden. And he had little things there. And he said, look at, I don't know if you call me Joey. Don't call me Joey. You can only call me Pastor Joey. But my family, they did that. I don't like that. Anyway. He said, we have to get the weeds out. He said, the weeds choke the roots of the vegetables, and then they're not healthy. And that's what God's saying here. This, whatever this weed is, I'm going to ask you a question. What weed is choking the word out of your heart? And he said, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh what, class? He becometh what? Unfruitful. And so we see that when seeds are sown, there are distractions that we must be aware of that prevent fruitfulness. My humble opinion, it might imply it, but that these distractions, these tribulations, these persecutions often are orchestrated by Satan and his demons. Tribulation, persecution, we heard, and we don't get much persecution. We get some, okay? Some persecution we get from, friends. I had a girlfriend when I first made a commitment to Christ, and she says, by the way, I don't even like that. It doesn't even matter what you're going to say. I just, okay. You're taking this too far. That was my persecution. By the way, I don't let girls do that to me. Guys, don't marry a girl that's going to do that to you. Otherwise, you're going to have to let her do it to you. Okay? That was persecution. I remember my dad, he said, I came home and I've told this story about Bob Larson. He preached in our church about rock music, and I had all my bedroom was filled with rock music, and he talked about how satanic it was. He gave every detail, and he used scripture, and man, I always sit right there in the second row. Man, I'll tell you what, I went home, I mean like a laser. I went home and I went and I got all my, and we got the 33s, boom, 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 I broke them all, and I thought, oh, my dad's already thinking I'm crazy. So I didn't want him to see me go out and dump all these albums. And so I put them back. And somehow, I don't know if he was going to listen to them or what, he opened up, I don't know, the next day or two, opened up the albums, and he's going, hey, this one's broken. Then he opened the next one. He said, this one's broken. And he went through them. He said, they're all broken. And I remember, I've got persecution from my dad. And then I would stay home on Friday nights. And he came home one day, and he said, listen, 18-year-olds don't stay home on Friday nights. And I'm thinking, last year he was saying, you're never home. Where were you? Okay, so sometimes it's our family. Sometimes it's a friend. Sometimes it's what does it do? It chokes out the word. Tribulation and persecution. I mentioned this morning, Brother Board sent an email, and I think Brother Ray sent to our people, and this, thank God for technology. There's a demon at one end. There's an angel at the other end. But thank God we can get prayer support right away. And that chum lady that got saved, she's getting major, major persecution. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Let's do all we can to prepare our hearts and to prepare our converts for tribulation, persecution, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of sin, or deceitfulness of riches. We need to be careful how we talk, because sometimes we talk what we need to do is get our hearts in right tune. And sometimes you have to be careful. You want to make sure your heart's right before you say something. But and I say that's a little disclaimer just to say I'm glad that when I made a commitment to Christ when I was just about 17. Okay, or after I got saved, I made a decision. I'm going to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I will follow. And let me say this. Usually when you make that decision, whether it's in a church, it's in a Christian school, it's a little lonely. It's a little lonely. And for now, 35 years, I've not been a perfect Christian. I've had my lapses of faith. I've had my discouragement. But I've pretty much have gone forward serving the Lord. And I meet Christians that have been Christians for a long time. They're discouraged. They're despondent. By the way, I get discouraged. But they don't have victory. I talked to one this week. Good man. A good man in our church. But he's lived in defeat, and he's lived in discouragement, and he's lived. And you say, what's the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. there's something choking out God's word, because God's word never, God's word will always fulfill its purpose. And when he's like, what's wrong? Is God not working? God always works. The best time to help somebody in their spiritual growth is right when they get saved, or right when they get back in fellowship with the Lord. This helps them to be fruitful. Look at verse 23, please. But he that received seed into the good ground, and I'm going to assume this is a new lost person that is coming to God. It sure seems like that. Commentaries that I've read say that. But he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Please up here just a moment. It's good ground. There's no perfect, there's no perfect ground. It's good ground. I mentioned this morning, I'm gonna say this over and over again. And this isn't inspired. I think it was Lee Robertson said, the first 3 months of a Christian is when that Christian is more open to God than any other time. Okay, I know that's not inspired, but now I think about my experience in working with new Christians, and when I first got saved in 35 years, I'm going, that's right. And this is what I want to challenge our church. If you see somebody saved, that's the time to really help them. For many reasons. Number one, they're really, listen, they have not been indoctrinated. They've not been immunized by some other Christian. They've not been distracted, and they haven't met cold Christians yet. By the way, keep them away from as many as you can. Man, they got a real dose of the real thing, and they're saved, and the Holy Spirit's come in their heart, and the load of guilt is gone. Their sins are gone. They don't understand. They're funny because their doctrine's sort of off a little bit. They start saying some things, but I'm like, I like this guy. He doesn't know exactly what he's saying, but he knows what he's saying. When they first get saved, or they first come back to God. By the way, Brother Ross, the teenagers, listen, it's a wonderful thing to have teenagers in the church that grow up in the Christian school, and there's assets and liabilities and everything. It's very easy to get cold, and so there's going to be some kid, there's going to be a revival, there's going to be a chapel service, there's going to be some circumstance, there's going to be a youth conference. When they come back to God, and man, they're weeping at an altar, and I know weeping doesn't mean everything, but I'll tell you what, the heart is connected to the tear ducts. And maybe something is going on. That's the time to grab them. That's the time to help them. That's the time to say, listen, I'm here for you, and we're going to help you, and we're going to get the Word of God in your heart, and we're going to get some of these thorns that have been choking the Word of God. That's the time to help them. I remember Brother Kyle, and Brother Kyle was saved as a boy, but he never got in a church. His parents knew that, you know, get him, and his parents got him in a Christian school, but he wasn't a spiritual guy. He was a worldly guy. Can I tell him everything? No, I'm just kidding. But I remember Brother Ross, he did the right thing. I can't remember the words, but he said, and I saw Brother Kyle, and I think, is this where you sat too when you first started? Was it over here? It was back there. Everybody starts in the back. And I remember Brother Ross said something. Brother Kyle was here every Sunday. God was doing something in his heart. And Brother Ross said something. He talked to me and he said, you know, this guy, Kyle, I really think he really is drawn nigh to God, or something like that. And Brother Ross started talking to him about Bible college. Oh, how come everybody gotta go to Bible? Hey, listen, Bible college won't hurt you. And if you got a single guy and he's not married and doesn't have a bunch of kids, doesn't have a bunch of responsibilities, I think just at least throwing it out, hey, why don't you check out Bible college where you can have preaching and you can be around a few people on fire for God. And just, listen, I think that's good. And that's what Brother Ross did. And Brother Ross saw, and Brother Kyle probably didn't even know what Bible college was. He probably didn't know we had a Bible college. But you know, right away, and how long were you coming to church before you went to Bible college? 6 months. 6 months. The rest is history. Thank God for this man. You know what? He's one of those guys that are bearing 30 and 60 and 100 fold. You say why? Right away. I heard Brother Bruce's amen. I remember Brother Bruce, he came here for youth conference about 6 years ago. And actually he showed up, someone invited him to RU. And he wasn't addicted to drugs, just one of our RU people, worked with them, and invited him to RU. I don't know who he was. And it was and then he wasn't saved. Then he went to youth conference, and he got saved at youth conference. Then I started seeing him in church Sunday morning. And I think he started. Did you start coming Sunday nights? I don't know, right away. All the church services. Then he showed up for soul winning. And I remember what Daryl Chaplin said. Daryl Chaplin said, look for people that are really seeking the Lord and invest in them. And I remember there was Bruce sitting there, and at a soul winning night, I think it was, I think I said, hey, you're coming with me. You know, it's like, whoa, where are we going? We're going soul winning. That's what we came here for, you know. And we, please don't get this wrong. We had our first, and those of you who go soul winning a lot in Long Beach, you know this, our first area was Bixby Knowles, okay? Now, Bixby Knowles people need God, but they don't want God as much as people maybe in the non-Bixby Knowles areas. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen. So him and I were in Bixby Knowles. We weren't getting very many people saved, but, okay, by the way, we have a man in our church that is a missionary to the Jews. He's been coming the last couple weeks, and so Mr. Stein says he wants to get with him. But anyway, so I'm with Bruce. This guy's only been coming to church for like a month, and he's out soul. Is that about right? Maybe a month, or was it maybe a little bit more than that? And I'm talking to this guy, and I'm like, he's got it. You say, what does he have? He has salvation. Said he's got God. And he's starting to talk about ministry. I'm thinking, ministry? This guy's only been here for just a few weeks or a couple months. And I said, we're going to invest in him. We're going to invest in him. And you know what now he does? He bears fruit 30, 60, and 100. My home pastor, and truthfully, it was just through a series of circumstances, my home pastor, my sending church is Terry Angel Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. And I knew of him, and actually when I left the church to come start the church here, he wasn't the pastor there. But the other pastor left. He became, so that's my, he's my sending church. And a very godly man. But I remember something he said, and I remember Brother Roloff said the same thing. He said, listen, and Terry Angel, and he didn't talk too much about it. He talked about some. He was in a boys' home. He was in a boys' home. And they learned this. The best thing for a kid going out of a boys' home is don't send them home. You let them stay there. You say, what's a boys' home? It's for troubled kids, okay? And he said, listen, I learned. he said, I went home. I think he tells a story. He went home on a visit, and some of his friends started giving him temptations and stuff. But he said, you know what? He said, I was directed to go straight to Bible college. He said, my heart was soft, and I wanted to keep it soft. But the best time to help somebody in their spiritual growth process is right when they get saved or get back in fellowship with the Lord. By the way, we're talking about these four steps. I want you to think, and there's always, during the spring, there's always new people, and there's new converts. And some of these people, they get saved. And by the way, that's why we have adult classes, and we try to have a structure of encouragement and love. But I want to encourage you, when you see somebody that gets saved, grab a hold of them and love them and teach them and protect them and help to let them know persecution is coming, but we're here for you, and God's for you, and you got his word, and tribulation's coming, but we're here for you. And let them know that it's coming, but we're here. Number four. And I'm landing. Let's use the four-step path of spiritual growth to get new people on the path of growth right away. I'm just Shaw. There's Shaw. By the way, she's been very faithful to Sunday church in Monterey Park. Chinese lady. And she got baptized, and I went to shake her hand. She says, I want to be a disciple. We need to help her to be a disciple. And you say, well, what's the first step? Step one, is she saved? Yes. Is she been baptized? Yes. You know what we need to do? She needs to join the church. She's already in a Sunday school class. Now what does she need to do? She needs to get in discipleship. That's just our process here. You say, oh, is that all we do? No, there's a lot of other things, but we can coach her and say, you know, she's like, what's the next step? Let's help our people. Step one, love God. Love others. Serve God. Serve others. And let's do all we can to prevent the sea turtle syndrome. We have the privilege, and really, and I mean that, to give our house to let these people that are here for 2 weeks, one's got leukemia, another one had to come off the mission field because they took half of his stomach out. They used to be 167, 166. These are people that just love God. They came out here to help us, and I thought, you know what? It's not going to hurt me to stay in the hotel with my wife and my two boys. Whee! and let them, you know, and it was nice for them. They really, you know, sometimes, and by the way, many of our people host, Robert and Susan Limcocco, you're fantastic. And the problem is you're so fantastic that you're going to be asked every time they come, okay? Everybody wants to be at Robert and Susan Limcocco's house. We go out there, and they talk about, for breakfast, we have donuts and coffee. Well, they come from Robert and Susan's, like, we had salmon and steak and eggs and bacon and hash browns. They all look at Brother Pineda. Donuts and coffee? But we're at the hotel, and it's been a blessing. But there's a TV there, and there's cable, and so the kids, our kids, listen, to have cable television to them, it's like going to Disneyland. We've never had cable television. I've been married I can't remember how long, 26 years. My kid never, and so. So, no, cable television doesn't mean action movies, you know, Rambo 5. They get to watch a cartoon. I mean, to them, it's like, wow! Or they get to watch Alaska, you know, out in the wilderness, you know. And so we're watching one of them. It's a National Geographic, and it's the turtles, sea turtles, you know. And all these little eggs, the turtles, and I don't know if it's one. It doesn't seem like it can be one. But somehow, they said 1,000 eggs, hatchlings. There's 1,000 hatchlings up off the sea, and all these little cute little turtles. You ever seen the sea turtles? They're the cutest thing. You want to take one home right out of the TV. Take it right out of the screen. And so, you know, the guy's moderating, and he says, there's 1,000 hatchlings. They call them hatchlings, I think. And they're walking, and they got those little febby, webby feet. And they're just, it's like, oh, I want to take one home. Do they buy it? Do they sell them over at the local pet shop? And they're just, and they smile too. They're going like this. I'm thinking, they're going to run out of air. They're just babies. And as soon as they come out of their egg, they go straight to the water. You say, why? That's, yeah, for cover. And so here they are. Man, I'm not watching the thing, but I am now, you know. It's the kids are watching. It's like, hey, you know. And then here they are, and I'm like, oh, man, there they go. And all of a sudden, a seagull goes, grabs it. I'm like, hey, what's he doing with it? Like, that's lunch for my family. And it, whoosh, whoosh, poof, another one. He's not even in the water yet. And then I'm thinking, oh, no. And then I'm like, go, guys, go. Hurry. You're going too slow. I'm telling your mommy on you. They're just, I'm like, go, go, go. And all of a sudden, a crab shows up. I'm going, this turtle can take out this crab. And the turtle is sort of fighting with it. Hey, this thing's newborn. I mean, like 30 minutes old. You wake up and you're fighting a crab, right? And he's fighting his crab. I'm going, that crab is as big as the turtle or same size. And he's going to kill that turtle and cut his throat and eat his head and use his shell for a bathtub or something. I don't know. And he fights him. I'm going, oh, man, you're bigger than he is. What are you doing? And he gets away. I'm like, yes. And all these seagulls and these different birds are coming in and taking him away. And I'm like, oh, man. This is just depressing me. My poor little, I feel like these are my children, you know. They finally get to the water. And like, and then they show above, there's like 14,000 seagulls circling the little heads, the turtles' heads are coming up, and all of a sudden, they're grabbing them. I'm like, oh, and then the local sea bass, whop, grabs them. I'm like, these, and this is what they said. And by the way, a lot of them didn't make it to the sea, but a lot of them did. It's like all these little baby turtles, you see their heads, I'm like, oh man, great, you know, you're like, yes. They said, the turtles can live to be, the sea turtles, to be 80 years old. That's their potential. They can live. If they can get all through the seagulls and all these birds and all these crabs and all the sea bass and whatever else is out there. But this is what they said. Only one in 1,000 survive. I'm like, you're kidding. And I think of Christians. You know, Christians, the new Christians are like those little sea turtles. Here comes a seagull. Persecution at home. Now, listen, if I was out there and all those seagulls, I'd get me a shotgun. And I don't care what President Obama says how many shells I can have. And I'd have me loaded up my shotgun. I'd be going, seagull, stay away from the turtles. Boom! Got four on that one. Boom! Stay away from the turtles. You know what we need to do? We got new converts, old Charlie, sitting in the front row. You know what we need to do? Keep the thorns away from him. And you know what? He's coming Sunday morning, Sunday night. He's in prayer meeting. He's showing up. He loves God. You know what we need to do? Let's embrace him. Let's help him. Let's do what we can and to say, Charlie, you're going to have some tribulation at home. Charlie, there's going to be some persecution out there. There's going to be some thorns that choke out the word. And Charlie, there's going to be an opportunity to make money. That money, there's nothing wrong with the money. We have to have money. We have to have money to take care of our families. We have to have money to feed ourselves. And we have to. But this is a responsible thing. But don't let the cares and the riches of this world choke out the word. Let's bow our heads for just a moment.